Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, if you've got your Bibles, go with me again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to continue our study in the Hebrews, chapter 11, line upon line, precept upon precept. And I tell you what, it's a real exciting time. We're going to be concluding a section of Scripture that we've been in since the month of July. Now, we took a break in the months of May and of June to start a series called The Blessed Life and to see God's design and His purpose for us to live a blessed life and what that means for you and I. And then in the month of July, we resumed our studies in the book of Hebrews, looking at the life of this man, Abraham. And literally over these 2.5 months, we have talked from verse number 8 of chapter 11 all the way now to verse number 12 of chapter 11. And we're going to conclude this week this portion of Scripture of Abraham's life, lots of great things that we've learned out of that, and talking about the rest of the paradox of faith and waiting on God and stepping out in faith and so forth and so on. Lots of wonderful things. But if you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Today we're going to look at verse number 12. Verse number 12, talking about Abraham, says, "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Talking about the life of Abraham today, the Bible uses a really amazing statement, a really descriptive phrase here for Abraham in his life, a man who was as good as dead. You ever heard that phrase before, as good as dead? Meaning even though something has not physically died, in their heart, in somebody's mind, in somebody's design, that thing has died, has ceased to exist. And Abraham, in his life, in the period of where he's at, the Bible says a man who was as good as dead, 90-something years old here in this point of his life, from this one man came as many descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Today I want to talk to you about the subject of life and death. Because you see, we all face life and death in our lives. And today, specifically, I want to look at the subject of death or things dying to us. Not death in our own mortal lives or the death of a loved one, so forth and so on. But I want to talk about the representation of death in our lives. Death of our hopes. Death of our dreams. Death of the things that we had once thought we would achieve and so forth and so on. We all face these situations in which something becomes as good as dead to us. Maybe you had a dream when you were a child, a dream to be something or to be someone, to follow a particular career or to have a family or whatever it might be. And as the years progress through your life, that dream never came to pass. And you can look back on that dream and say, that dream to me is as good as dead. Maybe God spoke to you and you were operating and waiting on the Lord and stepping out in faith in a business venture or something of that fashion. You've been waiting on God and you've been waiting on God and you've been waiting on God and you've been waiting even longer. And it seems to you that, you know, this vision, this calling, this stepping out in faith has become as good as dead to me. Maybe there's an emotion in your life. Maybe you were happy at one point and then you had some circumstances, some things that happened to you, some people said some things to you, or you were wounded by somebody very close to you and you begin to say about your emotions, about your happiness, you know, that area of my life is as good as dead. I'll never love again or I'll never be happy again because of this or because of that. Maybe you're in a season where you have a relationship, a spouse or a family member, a son or a daughter, or a distant relative and which you crossed words at some point in your life and communication has ceased, or you've had to make hard or difficult decisions and you think to yourself in that time and that relationship that this relationship is as good as dead to me now. And I see that things are just going to be the way they are, and I just want to live out the rest of my days as I can and as much peace and as much happiness as I can. But you see, God's desire for us is to not live out the rest of our days with the mentality that we are as good as dead. That a relationship that was severed, or that an issue that's in our life, that we leave it as good as dead, but rather God has something for us. But what happens is, as we wait, as we continue to progress through life, as each day passes us by, hope begins to wane, to fade, to dissolve, and it becomes as good as dead to us as we're waiting and waiting and waiting and wondering, God, where are you in my life? God, where are you in my relationship? God, where are you in my dreams? God, where are you in my visions? God, where are you in the passions of my life? Because I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and it seems like you're not there. And so what happens to us is we grapple a hold of whatever we can to hold on to something that we can see is slipping through our fingers, slipping away into a death, so to say, of our hearts. I remember in a real shallow and different type of illustration, I have this particular pair of socks. I'm a real particular about my socks. Not quite so much like Pastor Dan who wears the funky socks, but I just, if my sock doesn't fit right, I have to have a certain type of sock. And when it comes to athletic type abilities, or things like hiking or walking or anything like that, I have a specific brand of sock, a specific type of sock, and it has to fit exactly the right way. And these particular socks were wool. And I remember one day I was at work here and I was working and I looked down and I saw my sock somehow. I was sitting in my chair and maybe I had my leg crossed over. I don't remember the particulars of it, but I got a glimpse of this sock, one of my favorite socks. And you're not supposed to wear big, thick, sport-type socks with dress shoes, but I've always done that because I'm particular about my socks. And there was a string sticking out of my sock. Have you ever seen that before? I thought, well, that string's driving me nuts. So what did I do? I started pulling on that string. And all of a sudden, that string kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. My sock just kept unwinding. And I'm like, this is my favorite sock, you know. So I go and I get the scissors and I cut the string off and hoping that cutting the string off would stop it from unraveling. But the damage had already been done and the sock was beginning to unravel. So as the day progressed, what I did, I thought it was a really good idea. So I went and got some scotch tape, you know, that clear tape, and just try to tape my sock to keep it from unraveling, hoping and to do whatever I could to keep my sock from falling apart. Sure enough, as I got home, I threw it in the laundry pile as I normally do. And when it came out of the dryer, guess what happened to my sock? It was as good as dead. Sometimes that happens to us in life. Something begins to unravel whatever it is. A circumstance, something somebody said over you, a relationship, a hard time, whatever it might be, something begins the process of unraveling that dream that you had as a child. Or that hope that you were holding on to. Something began to unravel that relationship that meant so much to you. And now all of a sudden it is beginning to fade away. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how tight we grab a hold of things, it seems like no matter what we do on our own, we can never stop it from doing what it seems like it's going to do. And that's to unravel away from us and become as good as dead. We hold on for dear life to these things. And as a matter of fact, Abraham is an example of this very story. A man 90 years old, given by God a promise to have an inheritance. You see, in Abraham's time, they started having children a lot younger than we do in our society, in our day and age. And a man who was Abraham's age, having the promise of an inheritance through an heir, Abraham should have already seen alive 6 generations of his lineage. Not only at this age of his life, at this point of his life, should he have already had a son, but he should have had a grandson. And a great-grandson, and a great-great-grandson, and even a great-great-great-grandson. But yet here's a man, 90 years old in his life, going throughout the course of his life wondering, God, when is your promise going to come to pass in my life? I'm not getting any younger. The days aren't going by any faster. Everything is happening, and nothing of what you said is coming to pass. An idea, an example of hope beginning to fade. How is hope beginning to fade? Because Abraham begins to look at his wife Sarah and say, well, maybe you aren't the answer of God's promise in my life. As Sarah offers up her maidservant, Hagar, and Abraham has a son, Ishmael. God says, that is not my plan. My promise was not for just you. It's for you and your wife, Sarah. I've got a plan for you. But hope began to fade away. Became as good as dead, worthless. She couldn't have children. So what do we do when these things happen to us? When our dreams, our visions, our hopes, our desires, our relationships, our emotional stability, our happiness, the ventures of things that we've stepped out of in faith to God, what happens when these things begin to unravel in our lives and it seems like they are dying to us? What can we do? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about lost hope, about things that become dead to us in our hearts and what we can do about that. I want to take you to a story in the book of John in the 11th chapter, a story that's very familiar to you. And I use it oftentimes. It's probably one of my more favorite stories in the Bible, the story of Lazarus. And I want to look through the story of Lazarus and to see what you and I can pull out of this story today and the subject of lost hopes, of death in our lives, death to our dreams, to our visions, to our desires, to our hopes, to the relationships that we are holding on to for dear life. And what the Bible says about that to you and I. So in John the 11th chapter, the Bible begins to tell us that There was a man by the name of Lazarus who grew sick. Now, Lazarus was the brother of two women, Martha and Mary. Now, you've heard the story, or you may have heard their names in the Bible before. Jesus was at dinner at their house, and Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus speak. But Martha, her sister, was busy in the kitchen, cooking the dinner and preparing the meal and everything else like that. And Martha was upset at Mary because she wanted Mary to help. But Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Mary knows what is important. I am only here for a short while to teach us the lesson, to not get so wrapped up in the busyness of life that we miss out on the messages of Jesus and we miss out on the quality time that God so desires for us." And so the Bible tells us that Jesus had an affinity for these sisters and for this family. He had a deep affection for them. And so here in John the 11th chapter, Jesus is summoned on behalf of Lazarus because Lazarus has become sick and very ill. And they say to Jesus, "Jesus, come, we're just a couple of miles away from where you're at. Please come on behalf of Lazarus because he has become very ill." And the Bible tells us in John the 11th chapter, in verse number 4, the Bible says that Jesus, when he hears this, the summons to come to Lazarus, Jesus says, "The sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now put yourself in for a moment in that messenger's shoes. Put yourself in the moment of the disciples' shoes and all those around who just heard what Jesus said. "Jesus, come, Lazarus is sick, we need you to come right now." And Jesus' response to the call is, "He won't die. This sickness is not unto death." So what do we think? We think, well, Jesus just said Lazarus is going to be just fine, that everything's going to be okay, that he's sick, but it's not going to kill him. So this is all going to be good. You'll see this is a lesson here, is what Jesus is saying. So the time progresses on. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in John the 11th chapter that Jesus stays 2 more days in the town in which he's at, just a couple of miles away. After a couple of days, Jesus says, "Well, we need to go over to Lazarus." The disciples say, "Jesus, if we travel right now, like we want to leave right now, like it's like late, it's getting late, we should wait." And Jesus says, "Man, we got to go right now. It's time to go." They said, "Jesus, they tried to stone you. They tried to kill you when you left last time." And Jesus says, "It's time to go." And the Bible tells us that Jesus says these words about Lazarus. He says, "Lazarus, our friend, is sleeping. And I'm going to go that I might wake him up." Okay, once again, putting yourself into the disciples' position, into the messenger's position. "Jesus, Lazarus is sick. We need you. Come quickly." And Jesus responds, "The sickness is not unto death." So we perceive that to us as Jesus says it's going to be okay. And then 2 days later, Jesus says to his disciples, "Lazarus is sleeping. I need to go wake him up." So what do the disciples do? Thinking only what they would logically think at the time, they say, "Jesus, if Lazarus is sleeping, shouldn't we let him sleep? Because rest is good for the body, and if Lazarus is resting, he'll get better." But Jesus replies back to them plainly, because they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. He says to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Jesus had waited 2 days to respond to his call. 2 days of sitting in the town waiting on this. Lazarus is going to be okay. Lazarus is sleeping. Lazarus is dead. This is a hopeless situation. A time in which hope, a time in which emotions have now become as good as dead. When reliance has become as good as dead. Why? Because now the story just got real. Lazarus died. So the Bible says that Thomas, one of the disciples, says, "Well, let us go and that we may die with him." You know, I think Thomas was a real, you know, go-getter sometimes. He gets a bad rap. He had a better life than we see in just the Gospels. But they get up and they go to the city. And there, as they're coming into the city of Bethany where Lazarus lived, Martha, Lazarus' sister, runs to Jesus and she meets Jesus. She says this amazing statement to Jesus. She says, "Jesus, if you were here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Where were you? We asked for you to come. The messenger came back and said that you said that this sickness wasn't unto death. But he's dead. He's gone. If you would have just been here, Jesus, my brother would not be dead." Sometimes in our lives, when it comes to your dreams, when it comes to your visions, when it comes to your hopes, when it comes to the plans that you have for your lives, when it comes to the relationships, things that have happened to you, sometimes in our lives it seems, "God, if you would have only been there at that moment, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. My relationship wouldn't have been what it is today. My dreams wouldn't be what they are today. My life would not have been what it is today if you would have just shown up in the moment that I needed you. And Jesus says to Mary, excuse me, to Martha, he says, you will see your brother again. And she says, well, Jesus, I know I'll see him in the resurrection. I know that there'll be a time when everybody comes up. And you know how we say it in funerals nowadays? There's somebody, they stand up there and they say, you know, I know that this isn't goodbye. It's just see you later. She says, I get what you're saying, Jesus. And I know it's not a goodbye. I know it's just a see you later. And he begins to tell, he says, no. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Something's going to happen. So Mary or Martha goes and she secretly takes her sister and gives her sister and she says, Jesus is here. And Mary, who was the one that was seated at Jesus' feet, listening and taking in Jesus' words, she was so upset, so hurt by the situation that when Jesus came to town, she didn't even come. But Martha secretly went and got her. And so here comes Mary to Jesus. And interestingly enough, Mary says the same thing. Jesus, if you would have just been here, my brother would be alive today. Jesus, if you would have just showed up like we asked you to, if you would have just responded to our request, if you would have just come when we had asked, Lazarus would have been alive today. But now he's gone. He's in the grave. It's been some time. And Jesus says to her, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you believe. People around Mary and Martha, they begin to say, isn't this the one that heals the deaf and the blind? Could he have not kept Lazarus from dying? Why did he not stop this from happening? Sometimes in our lives, it seems like God shows up a little bit too late. That he wasn't there when we needed him. Jesus, where were you when I cried out to you? When my relationship was falling apart? It would have been a lot easier if everything would have been dealt with then instead of now. And here I am today, and the situation, this area of my life seems like it's as good as dead. But Jesus says something. Did I not say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? You know, sometimes I don't want to see the glory of God. I just want to see my life get fixed. Sometimes I don't want to come to church and get the goosebumps and hear the pastor preach an amazing message. I just want to feel better. Sometimes I don't want to see the life lesson in the message. I just want my brother back. But Jesus says, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And it goes on in verse number 41. The next verse is, he says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he began to pray. And he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He goes on in the second verse and he says, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So here's Jesus saying these statements. He says, here I am. Lazarus is dead, he tells his disciples, and I'm glad he's dead. What kind of insensitive statement would somebody say to that? I'm glad Lazarus is dead. And now here he is in front of everybody and he's beginning to pray. And he says, God, I'm glad that you hear me. I know that you always hear me. As a matter of fact, I am praying today right now because there are people standing around who need you, need me to talk to you and need to know that I am talking to you. And so then all of a sudden something happens in verse number 43. After he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Look what it says in verse number 44. He who had died came out. He who had died came out. Lazarus was dead, and yet he came out of that grave, bound in burial clothes on his face and on his hands. And Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Sometimes it seems like that dream is dead. Sometimes it seems like that vision or that hope is gone. Seems like that relationship is hopeless and there's no more hope or no more emotion left to give. And so it's as good as dead. But Jesus, when he speaks, something happens. And he says to Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came out. What we can take from the story of Lazarus, what we can learn from this message that we grab a hold of, is there are areas of our lives that become dead to us. Emotions and feelings and dreams and relationships and hopes and business ventures and so forth and so on. Because we wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. And the longer we wait, it seems like the lower and the lower and the lower our hope grows. But we can learn something about this message, about the story. And that is Jesus makes that which is good as dead live again. Jesus makes that which is as good as dead live again. That relationship that you've been believing in God for restoration, that's dead to you or somebody else. Jesus makes that which is as good as dead live again. That dream that you once had, but life got in the way, it's dead to you. No hope anymore. Jesus makes that which is as good as dead live again. That emotion, that happiness, that fulfillment in your life that you once had, but then life got in the way. Jesus takes that and makes that which is as good as dead live again. Perhaps it's best exemplified by Jesus in his own life. 3 days in the grave. Nailed to the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea puts him in his own grave. And they bind him up and they anoint his body and they put him in a stone, and the disciples look at each other and they say, what do we do now? What did we just spend the last 3 years of our lives doing? What do we do? And they go back to doing what they knew what to do, to go fish. And yet, 3 days later, through no power but the power of God, Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Because Jesus makes that which was as good as dead live again. He did it to us in our salvation. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses, separated from God, but yet through Christ have been made to live. We are now given a royal position. Why? Because Jesus takes and he makes that which is as good as dead, church, and he gives it life again. Your life, your dreams, your happiness, your fulfillment, the relationships that you are standing on, God. He takes that which is as good as dead and he makes it live again. We just have to learn to put it into God's hands, which is one of the hardest, easy things to do, to give it to God. It's so easy, give it to God, but it's so hard. So what do we do? Yeah, amen, hallelujah. Jesus makes that which is as good as dead live again, but when I look at myself in the mirror tomorrow, I still feel dead. That relationship, somebody still doesn't answer. They don't respond. My dreams, my visions, the call for my job didn't come through. So then what? What do I do? It's the hardest, easy thing to do ever. When it seems like all is lost, give it to God and watch what he does with it. When it seems like all is lost, give it to God, to Jesus, and watch what he does with it. Watch it. You see, we try to grapple. We try to hold on. We want to say, I want to give it to you, God, but then I want to hold on to it. No, give it to God and watch what he does with it. Watch it. Let it go. Give it to him. Put it in his hands. You see, Abraham was as good as dead. But because it was as good as dead to Abraham didn't mean it was dead to God. Just because it's as good as dead to you doesn't mean that it's dead to God. Look what it says in Hebrews, back in our subject scripture today, Hebrews 11 chapter. I'll just put it up on the overheads for you because we'll stay in John. Hebrews 11 chapter verse number 12, it says, therefore. If you've been at this church for any given time, you know that therefore is a very important word in the Bible. Because of what I just said, therefore a reason it's there. Therefore, from one man, Abraham, who is as good as dead, therefore what? verse number 8, Abraham obeyed. Therefore what? Verse number 9, Abraham followed and he dwelt God. Therefore what? Verse number 10, Abraham waited on God. Therefore what? Verse number 11, Sarah trusted and counted God faithful. Because Abraham obeyed, because he followed, because he waited, and because they trusted God, because of all of that, from one man who was as good as dead came the lineage as many as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Why? Because Abraham tried to do things on his own and it didn't work. But God said, that's not what I have for you. Abraham, your dream is as good as dead. But then, when Sarah couldn't have a baby like mom said, that's when she could have the baby. Because they had to give it to God and just watch. God, I'm too old. God, I can't do this. God, I'm too tired. But then something happened. From one man who was as good as dead came as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your dreams, your visions, your hopes, your aspirations, the things that you held on to, the excitement that you had when you first came to Jesus, although it seems like it might be as good as dead, if it's dead to you, it doesn't mean it's dead to God. It's not dead to God. Give it to Jesus and watch what he does with it. When it seems like all is lost, give it to God and watch what he does with it. In John the 11th chapter, there's some things I wanted to pull out that we can understand about this and how and understanding. I think if we can understand how something works and why something works, it's easier for us to apply that to our lives. And so here in John the 11th chapter, when Jesus gets the summons, he says, this isn't unto death, but for the glory of God. And then verse number 11, he says that Lazarus is sleeping. I go that I might wake him up. The question I ask is, did he miss it? Did he get the wrong information? I mean, was Jesus wrong and he was just misunderstood? Did he not hear from God? And maybe he just spoke in what he thought he had heard? Because he says Lazarus sleeps, but at this time Lazarus was already in the grave, dead, beginning to decompose. So did Jesus miss it? Because sometimes in life it seems like, God, I needed you in this moment, and you didn't show up. God, I cried out to you in this moment, and I didn't hear back. Did you miss it? Did you not hear? Were you busy with somebody else? What was going on? You see, the truth in this matter is that Jesus didn't miss it at all. He saw it from a different perspective. See, the world in Bethany knew that Lazarus was dead, but Jesus knew that Lazarus was only sleeping, resting. So what we can learn from this story is that death is not the end to God. Amen. Death is not the end. Amen. We know this in our own lives. That when we die, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that our own physical, mortal death is not the end of our existence. Church, the end of the death of your hope, the death of your dreams, the death of a relationship, the death of a business venture, the death of your faith stepping out is not the end to God. Why? Because Jesus said, Lazarus sleeps, but Lazarus was dead to us. Death is not the end. Going on in the story as Jesus goes and he begins and they roll the tomb away and Jesus is about to go to Lazarus. Martha says to Jesus, verse number 39, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. 4 days. She's rubbing it in. You see culture and beliefs at the time and that first century there, they believed that the body, when it would die, the spirit of the body would hover, would stay over the body for 3 days. After the third day, the body, the spirit would go. And so Martha is saying to Jesus, Jesus, it's been 4 days. You're a day late and a dollar short. Even so much so to say, Jesus, it's so late that the natural decomposition of his body has already begun to take place, and now there's a stench coming from his grave. It's dead. It's over. It's hopeless. But we know the story that Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came out. You see, what we can learn from is that it's never too late for God to work. It's never too late for God to work. Some of you are in this place and you're young and you've made some dumb choices in your life. And you look at the future and you say, I have ruined my life. I have gone down the wrong path. I have too many consequences to go in my life. But let me tell you something, it is never too late for God to work. Some of you are in this place and you have lived a long life. Your years are beginning to sunset and you look toward the end of your life and you say, I just want to live out the rest of my days and what little peace and what little happiness I can acquire for myself. Let me tell you something. Your life is not done yet. It is never too late for God to work. We are never too far gone for God to work in our lives. If he can do it for Jesus in the grave in 3 days, if he can do it for Lazarus in the grave after 4 days, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. It's never too late for God to work. Church, when it seems like all is lost, give it to God and watch what he does with it. Those desires of your heart that seem like they're died, those hopes and that optimism that you once had, and it seems like it's dying, that relationship that's falling apart, that connection that pulls your heart out every time you see something happening, give it to God and watch what happens. Why can you do that? Because Jesus makes that which is as good as dead live again. Today, church, this room is full of people whose stories aren't yet finished. God's not done with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. In the story of your life, in the story of your dreams, in the story of your emotions, in the story of your fulfillment, it does not yet say about you the end. When it seems like all is lost, give it to God and watch what he does with it. If anything else today, maybe you walked into this place and you felt like you were on your last rope, hanging on for dear life. Something happened to you this week, this month, this year, and you haven't been able to shake it. If anything, then today, church, remember this. Hold on. Hold on. Just hold on. Keep going. Keep going. Far too many people get to the position that Mary was in when Jesus comes to town. I don't even want to go out to see him anymore because he didn't show up when I wanted him at the moment. But Jesus comes with a whole new perspective. Because it's dead to you doesn't mean it's dead to God. Hold on. Keep going. Keep going. There was a young man in the 1800s and he went to the Black Hawk War, a captain. Aspirations to make something for his life. To be somebody in the world. To make a difference in the world around him. And through no fault of his own, when he returned from that war, he came back a private. Demoted from his position. He got into a job, started his profession as a lawyer. People said that his career would be unsuccessful. Why? Because he was far too impractical to be a lawyer in the area in which he did. He ran to be a congressman and he was defeated for Congress. He tried to become the officer of land management for the United States and he was defeated in that election. He ran for Senate and he was defeated in that election. He ran again for Congress and he was defeated in that election. He ran again for state Senate, hoping to do something with his life and yet again was defeated in that election. But yet 30 years after the dream of becoming somebody and something, Abraham Lincoln was elected the President of the United States. And on that fateful day, gave his Emancipation Proclamation. And he helped to guide this great nation through its darkest season in history. But he didn't give up. He didn't stop when he was defeated, when he was demoted, when his business didn't take off the way he wanted to. He kept on going. Church, keep going. Keep going. Hold on to what God has spoken to you. Just because it's dead to you doesn't mean it's dead to God. Amen. It may seem hopeless, but death is not the end. It may seem like there's no chance, but it's never too late for God to work in your life. When it seems like all is lost, give it to God and watch what He does with it. Why? Because Jesus makes that which was as good as dead come to life. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. God's got a plan for you. God's got a will for you. He's got a direction for you. Hold on. Keep going. Because Jesus takes and makes that which was as good as dead come to life. Did you guys get something out of the Word of God today? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.